The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello and welcome, folks. I'm still shocked at this. Welcome in to Wrestling Unwrapped Reacts, Woo Reacts. This time to the first SmackDown pay-per-view post-WrestleMania, and God knows it's been long enough, WWE Backlash from my city, the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Chicago, Illinois. Wow. I almost feel like we should just start with the main event just because how the hell are we going to get through the rest of this show?
Would you say that this is a case of shock and Maharaj awe?
The Jin era has begun.
Okay, they were both good. Well played.
I won't lie. I absolutely mooched that off of somebody's tweet while I was watching the post show.
you're a terrible person. Mine was completely and entirely off the top of my head.
The Hall of Mania is running wild.
He's a surefire lock for the Hall of Fame. And I can't lie, that was blatantly taken from Aaron. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name from Last Word on Sports. Anyways, tonight's episode of Woo Reacts Backlash 2017 is brought to you by the Madhouse Toy Chest. stores.ebay.com/MadhouseToyChest. If you are a fan of anything wrestling, DVDs, action figures, VHS tapes, magazines, posters, and more, you can find it inside of the Madhouse Toy Chest. As a matter of fact, I think you might even have a Jinder Mahal action figure or two.
All one.
stores.ebay.com/MadhouseToyChest to mention that you heard this advertisement on the show and receive a free gift with your purchase. We are also a presentation of the W2M Network. You can find us online at www.w2mnet.com. Yeah, we really need to figure out a day that both of us are available so we can do something with these reviews, man. I feel bad for frankly, I feel bad for anybody that deals with us, but that's beside the point. I feel especially bad for the people that are expecting more written reviews because, you take the chicken, right?
Oh, God. Huh? Well, anyone that knows me knows that I am on an absolutely suicidal schedule right now, so, yeah, I haven't slept in a week, and I'm probably not going to sleep for another week, so who knows, maybe we'll do one at 2 o'clock in the morning one of these days.
Let's do this real quick. Jinder Mahal defeats Randy Orton for the WWE Heavyweight Championship at 15 minutes and 53 seconds. Luke Harper pins Eric Rowan with a discus clothesline, kind of, at 8 minutes and 53 seconds.
I was Kevin going more rolling elbow.
It was supposed to be a discus clothesline. We'll talk about that later. Kevin Owens retains the U.S. title by countout over AJ Styles at 21 minutes and 9 seconds. Natalya, Tamina, and Carmella defeat Becky, Naomi, and Charlotte when Natalya taps Becky with the sharpshooter at 10 minutes and 2 seconds. Sami Zayn pins Baron Corbin with the Haluva kick at 14:51.
Yes, you heard
the Usos retain the SmackDown Tag Team titles when Jay pins Fandango with a super kick while Fandango's on the top turnbuckle at 9:15. And Shinsuke Nakamura defeats Dolph Ziggler with Kinshasa at 15:44. The pre-show match saw Ty Dillinger pin Aiden English at 8:16. I know you didn't get a chance to watch the pre-show. Have you had a chance to watch any of the SmackDowns recently leading into Backlash?
Not so many. Less than more.
Are you at least seeing that they got back to Aiden English doing his opera singer gimmick?
Yes. Thank God he's not so much of a crybaby anymore.
I'm a huge fan of the gimmick. I like it.
Needs more roses.
Say what?
Needs more roses.
Well, it does have significantly less Simon Gotch, so for that I am thankful.
Wow.
Calls them like I see them. I don't think there's any way we can't start with the main event here today.
Yeah, this was,
wow. That happened, Patrick.
Okay, here's the thing. I took Orton in everything. You know, on my show, I should say on my live show, on our W2M predictions, which you can find on W2Mnet.com, I took Orton. But the thing is I'm absolutely shocked. But I can't say I'm against it. For the longest time, what has Shane McMahon always called SmackDown? The land of opportunity. Jinder Mahal got the opportunity, and he seized it. And now he gets the opportunity to run with the belt. I'm guessing it won't be super long, but he's got the belt. Holy hell. Jinder freaking Mahal has the belt.
Four words that I never thought I would say together when 3MB was a thing. Jinder Mahal, WWE champion. All right, so long-time listeners of our show will know who Jason is. Jason's the guy behind the Madhouse Toy Chest. Major supporter of the show, has supplied shows for us to review before and given me information about shows that we've done and everything. And he was always for this. He's basically celebrating the fact that Jinder's walking out as champion here. Me, I did the official typed prediction for the W2Mnet Backlash prediction preview. You can find it on the W2Mnet.com page. And I said Orton by disqualification thanks to interference from the brother Singh. I genuinely did not think that they would have the balls. And yes, I used that phrase to put the belt on Mahal. Say what? Yes.
You meant Mahoney.
Nice flashback. nice callback. Well played.
Wow. And you know what the funny part is? Out of the entire beatdown of, and by the way, there is one thing that bears mentioning, but I want to get this thought out first. Out of that entire beatdown between Orton and the Singh brothers, neither of the Singh brothers laid a hand on Orton. It was all Orton on offense the entire time. They did not lay a finger on him. So technically, they did not do anything that actually warranted a disqualification. But boy, did they pay for their transgressions. Oh my God. I feel miserable for them.
I can't say what just went through my mind because I'm pretty sure it'll get us kicked off the air. I'll send it to you as a Facebook message later.
Okay.
But anyway. That one where the guy, like, slipped and I can't tell him apart. The one where the guy, like, slipped and landed on his head on the announce table, even Orton had a look on his face that said, oh.
Yeah, that was one of those that if when Randy Orton does something that makes Randy Orton break character, Randy Orton messed up. or Roman Reigns nearly killed Shane McMahon. But that's neither here nor there. But
he dropped that dude square on his dome piece.
And he came close on the first guy, too. He came damn close to dropping. See, the problem is, I don't even know their new names, because I still know them as Harv and Gurv.
Sunil and Samir. That I do know.
Unfortunately. Okay. I didn't hear it clear enough at any point tonight, so that's why I'm still kind of hazy on what their names actually are. But he dropped the first one on, I believe it was a smash announce table, and the crowd reacted to that one too, because he landed on the back of his head. And then second one on the English announce table, and he just says, screw it, and drops him on his head. The crowd reacted very strongly to this. Orton reacted very strongly to this. And then Jinder made him pin. So in this case, Jinder does the hindering.
Well, technically, there was a double DDT as well before Jinder made him pay.
That is true. There was also the double DDT, which, by God, the labels on those guys to take that after taking, you know, after almost falling square on your head. Because that was ugly. So, and then, like we said, the camel clutch slam, or not camel clutch, jeez.
Cobra.
Thank you. The Cobra clutch slam.
The claw.
Wins it for Jinder. Yes. Wins it for Jinder Mahal, and I'm going to say this again because I can't believe it. Maybe a little more welcome than saying the words David Arquette is WCW champion, but Jinder Mahal is WWE champion.
You know what my only issue with this is? And it's not so much the Jinder one, because it's not so much the Jinder one, because you know what? It's SmackDown, screw it. Crazy, and pardon my phraseology here, crazy shit happens on SmackDown. I completely lost. Oh, okay. I'm still thrown by the fact that Jinder Mahal was the champ. This is the fifth straight pay-per-view that the SmackDown title has changed hands. I don't like that.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. That's a scary thought. Yeah.
The last person to successfully retain the SmackDown title on pay-per-view was AJ Styles at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. And even then, AJ made an ass out of himself.
No, four. That would make four straight title change pay-per-views, not five.
Well, that's because it was non-title led payback. The last four pay-per-views that the title has been on the line is...
That wasn't a SmackDown pay-per-view.
But Orton wrestled.
Okay, then that still gets thrown out at Fastlane.
The SmackDown champion didn't wrestle at Fastlane. My point being that the last four times that the SmackDown title has been on the line on pay-per-view, it has changed hands.
But it didn't happen at the last four straight pay-per-views. Now I'm just busting your stones.
I'm going to hang up on you. You can do the rest of the show by yourself.
Okay.
Anyway. Don't threaten you with time. Anywho. No, I don't like the hot potatoing of the title. I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to championship reigns. So this constant hot-shotting of the belt, regardless of where it may have ended up, and the fact of the matter is it's it still makes me freaking incredulous to think that I'm going to wake up in a world tomorrow where Jinder Mahal is a champion in the WWE, and not just any champion, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. But if
Land of opportunity.
If we could stop hot potatoing the title, though, that would be super. You know, there is other stuff from this pay-per-view to discuss.
Oh, there is?
I mean, none of it's quite as mind-shattering as Mahal walking out as champion.
This is true, and maybe at this rate, well, do we just want to go backwards then?
Yeah, let's just go in reverse order here. So let's go with Harper and Rowan.
Because the Wyatt family fighting just never stops.
Well, I hope it's over now because this was not good.
So remember back, Christ, actually it would be the last time SmackDown had a solo pay-per-view. That would be, in because it's been so damn long, you may not remember, and our listeners may not remember, Elimination Chamber. I said that I thought Luke Harper was a made man after that match with Randy Orton. What the hell was I smoking?
I mean, at least he won tonight. It's not like he got pinned like he did on SmackDown by Rowan. Which in and of itself was freaking mind-boggling.
It felt like the crowd at Allstate Arena wanted to actually cheer on Luke Harper.
Harper's the baby face.
No. You're cutting me off. You're not letting me finish. It felt like they did, but for some reason it felt awkward to cheer for him. It's like, am I supposed to? Am I not? You know, it felt like one of those things, and it's like, you know, he didn't have the world's best opponent to go with. This could have been a good match for Rowan to prove himself, much like Harper did 3 months ago against Randy Orton at Elimination Chamber. And I won't say it was a bad match, but it was kind of a boring match. You know, nothing major really happened, and then it didn't help that the finish kind of got messed up a little bit because Harper wasn't far enough to his left.
Yeah, they kind of snafu'd the finish.
You know, we kind of joked about it when we went through the results. Obviously, Luke Harper's finish is a discus clothesline, discus lariat, but in this case, it was a rolling elbow, so I'm sure Austin Aries is going to be pissed because Luke Harper stole his finish.
It's not like Harper hit the ropes before he hit it, though, so it wasn't quite a discus five arm. You know what my problem is? I think it's hard for people to get behind Harper as a babyface just because he's so damn big. Like, it's difficult to get behind lanky babyfaces, you know, like athletic, agile, taller babyfaces. It's difficult for people to get behind people who they genuinely feel would have a very difficult time being at the bottom end of a fight. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of the issue that people had with Hulk Hogan originally.
Well, screw that guy under general principle. But anyways, back to Harper here. I'm not done. I think Harper has all of the tools of the trade in order to be a very successful single star. I just think that their matchups that they're giving him are completely and entirely non-helpful to what they want to do with them.
And it sucks because I think we have both spoken of Luke Harper and, in turn, Brody Lee's I think we've both spoken praises of him quite a long time, you know, and we pretty much gushed on him at the last SmackDown pay-per-view, like I said, back in February at Elimination Chamber. So, you know, I want him to move up. You know, I would love for him to kind of be a part of this land of opportunity swing that SmackDown seems to be on. Let him get a run with a belt, for Christ's sake. I bet he would actually be maybe a little off-kilter, but he can more than hold his own. You know, he's proven that quite a few times. Tonight, notwithstanding, because unfortunately Eric Rowan may not be the world's best opponent for him to have, but put him in with a John Cena or put him in with an AJ Styles, and we already got it with Orton, but I bet if you put him in the ring with the right guy, you will get a hell of a match out of him. It will not matter who the hell it is.
I think therein lies the problem, though, and the fact is that with Orton being a face right now, there aren't a whole lot of big heels on SmackDown. The only real large heel on SmackDown is Eric Rowan.
Well, there is one other in hell. We can talk about his match right now.
Mean Baron Corbin. I actually really thought this...
No.
Kevin's not a big heel, comparatively speaking. Harper's about 4 inches taller and... Okay, well, they probably weigh about the same.
Are we talking big in terms of physical size?
I was thinking I was thinking more in terms of vertical rather than horizontal.
Well, no. Not even that. Personality. Kevin Owens has a larger-than-life personality. He is one of, if not... the best talker in the company right now, as Talking Smack proves, as it literally became the Kevin Owens show for about the last half of it, and he just destroyed Peter Rosenberg and Renee Young.
Yeah, I think Dean Ambrose owes Kevin Owens money, and that's why he went to town on Renee Young like he did. Jesus, that was rough to watch. I mean, I'd say something about what he said to Rosenberg, but Rosenberg's relatively new. No one cares about him.
Okay, we can start calling you Kevin, because that's pretty much what he said.
new guy theory. Nobody cares. Anywho.
Yeah.
But before I get to that, I do want to expand upon my thought. I would really like to see Luke Harper versus Baron Corbin. I think those two could work something really special together. Is there any chance we could make that happen?
That would probably be a hell of a match, too.
That's what I'm saying. All right, let's get to Kevin and AJ then.
Disappointment of the night?
Disagree. The finish was dumb, but the match itself up to the finish was really good.
I mean, yeah, the match was really good, but, I mean, just why?
It protects AJ in the loss, even if it does make him look kind of stupid. It's innovative, give him that much.
Longest match of the night, by the way.
Not a surprise.
Only match to go over 20 minutes.
Maharaja wasn't going 20, sir. Anywho.
You went 15.
Almost 16. Anyway, back to the match. The U.S. title match. I really like Kevin Owens' focus on the knee. And the cannonball on the knee while it was trapped in between the ropes was a really cool spot.
I'll reword what I said. Maybe not the biggest disappointment of the night, but it felt like they were only going like 3/4 pace. I will stick to that. It didn't feel like it didn't feel as good as you would think AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens would be.
I think they're capable of more, but at the same time, you have to consider their place on the card. I think if they were the main event, it would have been more of a balls Mahoney to the wall kind of match.
I direct your attention to the show the night before. Two guys went out on the second match of the show and put their balls Mahoney to the wall for the entirety of it and nearly destroyed the crowd.
Let's try that again in a voice that actually resembles my own. I don't think... You have to forgive me. I've gotten sick this evening. I'm trying to make it through this show so that way I can go to bed. But anyway...
And I don't know that they're drinking today.
I don't know that Dunn and Bay killed the crowd last night. Do I think they did any of the matches after them any favors by putting on the performance that they did? No. But at the same time, I don't think they actually outright killed the crowd either, because I think the NXT crowds are a lot hotter than the traditional WWE crowds are. Me and Robert Taylor were having this conversation in that we both agree that the NXT shows are more aimed towards an adult audience as well, whereas the WWE shows are marketed more towards a kid audience, and the kid audiences tire out as the show goes on.
I didn't mean destroyed the crowd as in, like, actually, like, killed the crowd. I meant they just destroyed the crowd. They gave that crowd everything. And they forced that crowd to react to everything. So I didn't mean destroyed as in they killed the crowd and burned them out. I just meant that they just hit that crowd with everything they had. And they gave a reason to cheer and worthy of the standing ovation that they had that I was a part of, after that match. They more than deserved what they got from that crowd. But this felt like, I think going in, I think some people thought this could have been the main event. And I think this is kind of the foretelling that I think once everybody saw this, started thinking maybe the modern-day Maharaja is actually going to pull it off. And sure enough, he did. But, you know, and getting to the finish of this, I mean, yeah, no one takes, you know, Kevin gets the win, but it's dirty. AJ doesn't take a clean loss. It feels weird, especially with the fact that I don't think we're going to get another match at Money in the Bank. So,
I don't
can we
either.
Extend this
I,
to... Or, oh, go ahead.
I don't either. You can do the rematch on SmackDown.
Or do you wait until whatever, you know, the July SmackDown is going to be... is going to be, you know, WWE Don't Be Cruel or whatever the hell name they're going to come up with it.
Okay, first of all, hilarious due to Great Balls of Fire. Second of all, it's actually Battleground.
All they had to do was name it Battlefield and it could have been more crappy music. Oh, okay, Great Balls of Fire isn't a crappy song, but...
It's no worse than Tyler Bate coming out to a rip-off of Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel.
Good. You noticed that too.
I saw it on a Facebook page 2 days ago while I was watching the UK special episode and could not unhear it as soon as I saw it. Like, you suck. All right, back to the show, because we're getting horribly off topic.
Yeah. So,
I'll wrap it up here real quick. I think they left enough in the tank that if they want to do a big rematch on a big pay-per-view, they can. Like, I can see them extending this all the way out until SummerSlam and having AJ take the U.S. title at SummerSlam.
Now, here's my question.
do.
How? Because I think if there was one pay-per-view left, I think stretching this to SummerSlam is more than doable. But there's two. Not to mention, what factor is Money in the Bank going to play? Are they both going to be in it and pretty much just beat the hell out of each other? And then we get a rematch at Love is a Battlefield in July, and then possibly something else, a stipulation at SummerSlam, or what?
I think we get another rematch at Battleground where Owens gets himself intentionally disqualified, and then we end up going some kind of falls down anywhere street fight stipulation for SummerSlam between these two where AJ finally takes the title off of them.
You didn't hear what I called the pay-per-view, did you?
I chose to ignore it.
Okay, good.
I think that they can cancel each other out of the Money in the Bank ladder match because I think my favorite to win the Money in the Bank ladder match, we're going to talk about him in the next, well, in the next male contest because the six-woman tag is up next, but we'll talk about him in the next male contest. So I think these two end up canceling each other out of the Money in the Bank ladder match itself, and then we kind of go from there into a Battleground at the end of July.
Love is a good thing.
Stop it.
All right. So the next contest is the Welcoming Committee, which consists of Tamina Snuka, or Tamina, Carmella with James No Chin, and Natalia versus Team Corporate Partners.
NBC.
Naomi, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte. Yes, Team NBC. I don't even know what the hell Naomi was calling them, and I don't care. I'm going to keep calling them Team NBC.
Queen Glow Fire or some stuff.
Royal Fire Glow or something, or Royal Glow Fire.
Team Fire Glow Royal, whatever it was dumb, so we've already spent more time discussing it than we really need to. The match itself, very interesting decision to have Tamina or to have Natalya get the win here. Your thoughts?
I don't think it's going to play into anything because I think it's kind of the story going into this had been Charlotte wants the belt, and so unfortunately, I think Becky taking the loss here was victim of circumstance because Charlotte doesn't lose on pay-per-views still for the most part, you know, unless it's, you know, something major. Naomi's the champion, but her opponent isn't on the Welcoming Committee. So I really don't think, this just seems like a filler match.
Naomi's opponent is on the Welcoming Committee. Carmella just beat Naomi on SmackDown last week, and apparently, if you believe the rumors, Carmella's in line for a big singles push on SmackDown.
With Ellsworth?
Well, she's going to be wrestling. He's going to be no chinning.
God, if Carmella wins, it'll definitely be a nightmare on Ellsworth.
You're not punny.
So I'm not Becky Lynch?
No. Most of hers at least get a decent little chuckle out of me.
Okay, can I pitch one idea real quick?
Make it quick. We're already running long.
When they do the WWE week, you know, the one that they always do on NBC?
Well, USA, but...
Yeah, okay, on USA. Do a special edition episode of WWE Ride Along. You do it with Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Naomi, and Brock Lesnar. You do it with Team NBC Universal. Tell me that wouldn't be ratings.
I don't want to laugh, but it's so stupid I kind of have to.
Hey,
moving on. Moving on. All right. You know what my other big takeaway from this match? From the six-woman tag was?
Sure, what is it?
Tamina still sucks.
All right. Did she raid Nia Jax's closet?
You are not the first person to ask that. You probably won't be the last.
I was the first person to ask it in the W2M chat. That's for damn sure.
A couple of different people asked it on Yes, so you're not the first person I've heard ask that. You're also not wrong asking it either, because, yeah, that was a fashion faux pas.
Wow. And does it look like Tamina's gained some weight?
Yeah, I was thinking that too, but didn't want to be the insensitive dick that pointed it out, so thank you.
You're welcome, but it was kind of noticeable. It was one of those cases where if you looked too quickly, you would have thought it was Nia Jax. The outfit, and it looks like she's gained some weight.
Now, this is Tamina's first time on pay-per-view in, like, 2 years, so, I mean, God bless her for trying, but, yeah, she was definitely the weakest link of the six ladies in this contest. I got a question for you before we move on from this match.
Sure.
Assuming they don't do Naomi and Carmella for the title at Money in the Bank, which seems to be the way they're going, what do you think are the odds that we actually get a women's ladder match for the SmackDown Women's title?
I mean, Charlotte and Becky wouldn't coexist. The question is, how? What about the welcoming committee? Would they all just break that apart in 2 months? In 8 months?
No, I'm just saying you throw all six women into a ladder match and have them fight it out for Charlotte's for Naomi's title.
Five.
Six.
Who's the sixth? You can't throw Naomi in there. She's a champ.
It's not for the Money in the Bank. It's for the title.
Oh, you're talking about making a Money in the Bank ladder match for the title?
Having a ladder match at Money in the Bank for the women's title, yes.
I almost feel like with the fact that they have, you know, two ladder matches always, I still think the better idea would be men's and women's.
I don't think they have enough women on the SmackDown roster to pull it off, or otherwise I'd be okay with it. I think you'd need another two or three women on the SmackDown roster in order to do that, because Lana's damn sure not going to be in a ladder match.
Unless Renee planned my mind. Sorry.
And I don't imagine Renee or Dasha are going to lace up either.
And Maryse is on Raw, so. I mean, I guess we'll see, but I don't know. I don't know.
All right, moving on.
Sami Zayn defeats Baron Corbin via move a kick, clean as a whistle. Holy crap, Sami Zayn wins a match on pay-per-view.
Holy crap, I think Sami Zayn's won two matches in a row on pay-per-view. Didn't he win a match at Payback as well before being moved over in the Superstar Shake? No, he came over before. Never mind. I lost track of my timeline for a second there. I'm good.
Yep. So if he and he damn sure did not win, it'd be Andre the Giant better.
So you know how I mentioned that we were going to talk about my favorite to win the Money in the Bank ladder match in this next male contest?
Yes.
Hello, Baron Corbin.
Oof. You think?
You don't? Let me ask you a question. Who would you have as the favorite going into the SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match?
Well, it depends. If they keep the Land of Opportunity thing going, Ty Dillinger. Maybe not necessarily winning, though.
Too early into his run. Then again, Jinder Mahal has been a main eventer for about a month now, so.
Yeah. See, I'm running into an issue here. Jinder Mahal wins tonight. Rusev still wants his title match at Money in the Bank.
Well, Mahal and Rusev do have a history that they still haven't blown off, so, I mean, I could see that. At the same time, Orton is owed a championship rematch, I'm sure. He also owes a pair of Singh brothers their doctor's expenses after tonight as well, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. And then you want to throw Baron Corbin in there too?
No, I'm saying Corbin wins the SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah, that would throw him in. Well, no. Okay. Not necessarily Mahal versus Rusev, but you want to throw Corbin into the main event picture.
I'm saying that Corbin's pretty much already there anyway if you've been following SmackDown for the last couple of months.
Does tonight feel like a setback?
This blemish on his record notwithstanding. And I think this wasn't so much a setback for Corbin as it was kind of an elevation for Sammy.
That was actually going to be my very next question. Does this bring down Corbin or does it bring up Sammy?
I think it brings up Sammy. I think that I hate Sammy's paranoia character. The way that he's doing his interviews, the way that he's talking in his character and stuff, I hate it. I don't like it at all. But at the same time, if SmackDown's going to push Sammy to the level that we feel, and by we I mean us as a general audience, feel that he is capable of, then so much the better for it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, just Sammy picking up the win here feels weird because it feels like I almost wonder if he ends up in the match, could Sammy be in there to win the Money in the Bank, actually win the match? And we potentially get Jinder versus Sammy. And then not only that, what if Sammy were to win and we end up getting back to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
All right, first of all,
I know, I just stretched the hell out of it.
First of all, Mahal is not leaving Money in the Bank as SmackDown champion.
Why?
He's dropping it back to Orton in St. Louis. That's why.
So is SmackDown really just trying to fix all of WWE's general screw-ups?
Pretty much. I mean, that seems to be the way that it goes.
SmackDown had the women's title be won by the hometown hero at WrestleMania. Now they want the WWE title to be won by the hometown hero.
All right, can we get back on topic, please?
Well, I mean, we kind of are.
As far as the whole Money in the Bank thing goes, I don't think Sammy's a credible threat to win Money in the Bank. And more to the point, I don't think Sammy benefits from winning Money in the Bank because Sammy's not the kind of guy that should sneakily cash in a title shot unless you're going to turn Sammy heel, see Brian Daniel.
True.
I think Sammy's the kind of guy that if he's going to get a heavyweight title opportunity, he needs to be getting it in a straight-up one-on-one situation there. I mean, he could win the Money in the Bank match and then call for his match down the road like Van Dam did in 06, but let's be honest here. What's the likelihood of that happening?
Yeah. And do they have a show in Montreal anytime soon?
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
What?
Tag team titles are on the line.
No, I was actually being serious of hometown, not Montreal screw job. I meant doing it in your hometown with your home crowd, like RVD did in 06 when he won it in front of his crowd, not the Montreal screw job.
Is it so sad that the Montreal screw job is so ingrained into my memory that that's immediately the first place I thought you were going with that?
Yeah, obviously. No, that wasn't. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I was going with winning in front of your crowd.
I don't think they have anything scheduled in Canada anytime soon, but I mean, obviously, card subject to change.
Yeah.
Tag titles. Seen a lot of mixed reviews for this match. A lot of people really liked it. A lot of people didn't like it so much. I thought it was entertaining for what it was. I don't know how I feel about having this kind of a match for the tag team titles, though. I want to get your thoughts. What did you think?
Is it bad that when the match first started, I actually thought Breezango were going to pull it off, and in my mind, it was going to be shock and awe by the Usos reacting to, you know, pulling the mustache and the cap off, and they learned that it actually is Tyler Breeze who was playing the janitor, and they were going to shock and awe it to the point that, you know, Fandango was going to actually pick up the win.
Oh, no, they had their stock in Ma'al set for a lot later on in the show.
And yet you're yelling at me about that stuff.
Mine's original, at least.
I do kind of wish Breezango got it. I actually do. I wasn't a huge fan of the match. You know, I don't mind shtick, but maybe there was a little too much shtick in this one. You know,
are you saying they were full of shtick?
All right, you know what? One more.
I'm done, I swear. That was the last one.
Anyway.
No, that's the problem that I had as well, in that I don't think they took the match seriously enough for what was supposed to be a tag team title defense. And especially when you had a pair of relatively young Lions still. I mean, I don't think Breeze or Fandango are into their 30s yet. So these are two guys that are still trying to be making a name for themselves. So it doesn't make sense to me that they would be so flippant about their first major title opportunity. Now, yeah, if you've seen the Fashion Police files on SmackDown, which, by the way, the segments have been really well done, they're kind of a comedy act. But at the same time, though, when it comes to something like the tag team titles, I expect them to have put on their big boy pants and taken it seriously.
All right, I got a question for you real quick. It matters to the match. Which one bugs you more? A match full of comedy, you know, shtick, like we saw here tonight, or two teams deciding to walk out on their tag title match like we saw last week?
You can listen to that review as Patrick and I cover Atomic Championship Wrestling's Sleazy Christmas 2016 in the archives. I said Sleazy Christmas 2016. And you can check that out in the archives and also on W2MNet.com as well. walking out on a match.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because while they started with comedy in this match, it actually developed into something that was very interesting, and I even groaned when they threw Breeze into the front row because that looked like it had to suck.
Yeah, no doubt.
But the finish also makes me believe that they're not done with this either, so hopefully if they do a rematch it, then the team of Fandango and Breeze will take it a little bit more seriously, and we'll see what they're capable of in an actual 2-on-2 setting for the tag team titles. I don't disapprove of the match itself. I just feel like an actual match instead of a comedy match between the two teams would have been better given what these four men are capable of.
So you're hoping for a fresh-smelling start for Team Fabrice.
And I get heat for calling them that. All right, moving on.
All right, and in our main show opener,
our main event here on Woo Reacts, apparently.
Well, I mean, you can talk about the pre-show because I kind of already did because I wasn't able to get home in time to watch it.
We already discussed it. We mentioned the fact that Aiden English lost to Ty Dillinger again with the newly remodeled tiebreaker.
My guess is if Adam Cole's coming in, that's the last shot.
Wait, what now?
If Adam Cole were to be coming into the WWE eventually, which, by the way, real quick, because I was at NXT, whoever that asshole was that kept chanting for Adam Cole one section over from me, screw you.
Let me just call somebody in air. Thanks for that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Nakamura and Ziggler.
Yes.
I think my hype was, I think my expectation levels were too high.
I think everybody's were, because Sammy and Nakamura in Dallas, this wasn't.
I'm not saying it was a bad match, because it wasn't a bad match. It's just, I think given the quality of opponent that Ziggler is and how Ziggler has been known to pinball around the ring for people to make them look good, I think I expected more of that. And what we got here was Ziggler controlling a lot more of this match than I think most people really expected him to.
Yeah, I saw, you know, one of the main complaints, one of the main questions/complaints was, did Ziggler get too much offense? You know, if you're going to be in a match with somebody that's going to be a feature match, you know, I didn't mind the fact that Nakamura kicked off the show. You know, I don't think they wanted the crowd trying to take over the show waiting for Nakamura. And even if it was just the fact of starting him out kind of hot, you know, I was okay with the fact that, you know, Nakamura's SmackDown debut match kicked off the show. I think it could have been a great match, but Zayn and Nakamura, this wasn't. And yeah, I think it was, what I think Nakamura and Zayn had, and I'm going to keep referring to that one just because that was Nakamura's WWE debut match, and this is, you know, the next step up, his SmackDown debut match. Zayn had big flashy offense and had the ability to get the crowd on his side, and that was a huge face, you know, good guy matchup. Where the crowd was pretty much just split down the middle, and they did not want to see that match end. In this case, Ziggler's shine starting to dull. You know, and I think he's starting to become quite a boring wrestler to me, honestly.
You know, he can still go in the ring, but it's nowhere near what it used to be for me. And I think the allure for Dolph Ziggler is starting to wear off, because he really doesn't pinball around the ring like, you know, like he looked like he was Mr. Perfect's illegitimate son. He doesn't really do that anymore. And it just, it feels like the shine and the allure is starting to dull and wear off a little bit on that. And when you're getting a relatively PO'd Dolph Ziggler, who knows he's going to lose, yeah, this match wasn't too bad, but it wasn't really anything special.
I think the problem is Ziggler's place in the pecking order on SmackDown right now. So debuting Nakamura against somebody like Ziggler, where Ziggler has that on the card, kind of takes away from some of the specialness here. I don't think the result of this match was ever in question. If you'd have told me that you were going to pick Dolph Ziggler to win this match, you were either Amy Schumer or a member of Dolph's immediate family.
Wow.
Other than that, there was nobody that was probably picking Dolph to win this, and frankly, there was no reason for Dolph to win this year. Dolph was simply there to make Nakamura look good. A couple missteps, but by and large, an entertaining contest, but not what you would expect from the debut, and hopefully a small speed bump on the road to the progression that should be Nakamura heading to the upper mid-card, if not the main event level, with SmackDown almost immediately.
How fast?
SummerSlam.
Do we see him in the ladder match?
The Money in the Bank match? No. I think he gets somebody else at us. I think he gets somebody else in Money in the Bank in a feature match. You know who would be really good at putting Ziggler over, I think, or putting Nakamura over, if he's not in the Money in the Bank match? Rusev.
Rusev only come to Money in the Bank for title match.
Yeah, well, Rusev under contract, so Rusev don't get to make decisions.
True.
All told, as far as Nakamura goes, though, the crowd is definitely behind him, which is something I didn't necessarily know if NXT fans expected. And the reason I say that is because there have been several examples of people who have been called up from NXT who have not gotten nearly the reactions they've gotten in NXT. Looking at you, Adam Rose. So
and
it's good
Tyler
to because,
and
well,
Fandango.
Unfortunately, Fandango wasn't really a thing in NXT.
Yeah,
He was Johnny Curtis down there. But anyways, as far as Nakamura goes, it's good to see him getting the reactions from the crowd that he is getting, though. And I think that that's a good sign of things to come for him going forward, at the very least.
I'm hoping for Styles and Nakamura in New Orleans. I think that's kind of what everybody's end goal is right now. But we shall see. God knows, we've got 9 months left. Or, no, God. 10.5 months left. So, yeah. Shinsuke Nakamura wraps up by kicking off WWE Backlash. Big finish time. Best and worst match in our final rating for WWE Backlash 2017. Alrighty, Harry, for you, what is the best match of the night?
Styles and Owens, despite the bad finish. Everything up until the finish, in my opinion, was really good.
Okay.
How about you, Patrick? What was your best match on the night?
Stuck with two for two different reasons. one of them being Styles and Owens, but I'm going to go with the main event. Maybe not technically, you know, in ring, the best match, but what's the main thing you're going to remember about this night? About this exact night, May 21st, 2017, WWE Backlash Allstate Arena. What's the number one thing you're going to remember? Jinder freaking Mahal is the WWE champion.
The only difference is you won't be saying freaking.
True. Very true. But the match itself wasn't terrible, maybe a little on the boring side, but, you know, Randy Orton, you know, put everything he had into fighting off the world, and damn near did, by almost killing the Singh brothers. And then Jinder Mahal pulls off the upset. It's as if they're saying, ah, no, screw you, Chicago. But, you know what? Shock and awe, and it's a memorable moment. It's something you really didn't expect. But you got it. Jinder Mahal beats Randy Orton. Not clean, but Jinder Mahal beats Randy Orton. So he'll be the champion for probably 4 weeks. I think Money in the Bank is 4 weeks from tonight.
23rd, so 5, I believe.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank God. Alrighty. What's the worst match of the night for you?
I'm going to go with the six-woman tag. And it's not that it was necessarily a bad match. It's just everything else either lived up to or exceeded expectations that I had for it. And I think that given the six ladies involved in this contest, okay, well, given five of the six ladies involved in this contest, because I've never thought Tamina was anything special, but given five of the six ladies involved in this contest, there has potential to be a whole lot better than what it was in reality. Patrick, yourself?
Tamina just needs to go back to being Sheezel.
Yes. Let's keep her ringside and out of the ring.
Yes. For me, Luke Harper versus Eric Rowan.
Just going to say, sad to think about that, considering we had Harper in the best match at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. And I think, kind of like how you said, that all of the matches, aside from one, met or exceeded your expectations, this one seriously fell short for me. And that sucks, because this could have been a real shot for Eric Rowan to kind of get, you know, a feature match spot, but it felt super flat, and I actually feel bad for Luke Harper, you know, but part of it was him, the fact that all he had to do is take one step to your left, and you would have been able to hit your finisher instead of Austin Aries' finisher. But just the whole thing kind of fell flat, and then, you know, you put it where you did between the two big feature matches. It didn't mesh well, and hopefully, you know, finally the fighting in the Wyatt family can stop. And hopefully, you know, Luke Harper can move on to bigger and hopefully better things. I really want to see him in a match, like a big time match. You know, give him a match with Phil, or give him a match with like a Kevin Owens or an AJ Styles, and just let everyone see what he can do. I bet it would be great, you know. And hopefully, you know, Eric Rowan can move on from this and ditch the damn mask. And maybe ditch, you know, trying to be Pennywise, but it's just the whole match just fell flat for me.
Can he stop stalking Renee Young while we're at it?
What was that?
You didn't watch the kickoff show, never mind.
Alrighty. So before we get out of here, one final thing that we have to handle, and that is final ratings. So what is your final rating for WWE Backlash?
That's a difficult question to answer, and I know we always do best and worst match and final rating on these. I'm glad we don't do cash and trash, because frankly, cash and trash would be a pain in the ass to come up with for a show like this, especially on such a quick filter. But coming up with a rating for a show like tonight is very difficult for me, on the grounds that my expectations were not met, but at the same time, it's not a bad show either. I think there's enough good to outweigh the bad of what did and didn't happen there. I think a couple of the matches that severely underperformed will drag the show down some, but I think at the other instance too, that some of the other decisions coming out of the show will make it stand out more long term in terms of people's memory. Let's be honest, Backlash 2017 is always going to be the show that Jinder Hall became the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. It is Bucky f***ing dead all over again. So
I don't think there's that much heartbreak, but okay.
All in all, well, that depends on who you ask, because some people are acting like it's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
So do I.
Thank you. I'm going to give Backlash a 6.5.
Okay.
Mr. Kepka, how about yourself? What is your final score for the 2017 edition of WWE Backlash?
I would say that there was more good than bad. There was definitely more good than bad here. Nakamura and Ziggler, maybe not living up to what you think they're capable of, was by no means a bad match. The main event, you know, just for sheer shock value, you know, it is, you know, at least worth a watch just to see the night Jinder Mahal became WWE champion. The U.S. title match was a very good match, you know, a goofy finish aside. The six-woman tag was what it was, and the Usos and Breezango, you know, being a lot of goofiness, was an entertaining match. So, you know, for me, there's definitely more hits than misses. Is this a, you know, 9-10 show? Hell no. But I would absolutely say that this is a 7 of a show. It's worth a watch, and it definitely provided a memorable moment, probably one of the biggest, most memorable moments of the year. Up there, I would say, with the Hardys returning, maybe not that happy of a shocking moment, but definitely a shocking moment. My final score is a 7 for this. I'm trying to think of what we did for Payback, because I think we were about even. Did we?
I don't remember. I remember talking about it. I don't know that we actually did an audio review. We might have.
Great. Now I'm trying to think of it. Yeah, we did, because we talked about the idea of an ambulance match.
Okay. That is right. All right. I want to say we probably gave them that one about a 7.
Okay. I will say this. For me, TakeOver beat Backlash. Backlash is by no means a bad show, but TakeOver beat Backlash.
A, you're biased from being there live. B, I think it's unfair to compare the WWE product to the NXT product.
It's all WWE.
But it's marketed towards different audiences, as I mentioned, me and Robert discussed earlier. So I'm not going to comment as to which one did or didn't perform better. I will say that I think the best match out of either of the shows definitely happened at TakeOver. And if you are a wrestling fan, and I don't just mean any specific kind of wrestling, and just wrestling in general, you owe it to yourself to watch Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne at least once.
I have to go back and rewatch it just because I want to hear JR's commentary on it. It's probably the one bad part about the one bad part about being there live. I couldn't hear JR call the match.
Yeah. You were in the All-State Arena. Congratulations, jackass. Tonight's episode of Wrestling Unwrapped Reacts has been brought to you by the Madhouse Toy Chest. Stores.ebay.com/Madhouse Toy Chest. If you're a fan of anything wrestling, DVDs, action figures, VHS tapes, posters, magazines, and more, you can find it inside the Madhouse Toy Chest. Mention that you heard this advertisement here on WU Reacts or Wrestling Unwrapped, whichever one you prefer, name drop. Receive a free gift with your purchase.
All righty. And we will be back next Sunday night. Finally, partially my fault, mostly my fault, reviewing Wrestling Revolver's second show, Iowa Goes Lucha, from mid last year, featuring the main event of Machine versus Machine, Brian Cage versus the Death Machine, Sami Callihan, who apparently is able to wrestle quite very well in a corduroy sweater. Can't believe it. And then 2 weeks from tonight, we will be back on the air late yet again because the WWE has to do a pay-per-view every 2 weeks now with WWE Extreme Rules version of Woo Reacts. Harry, are you back on tomorrow night?
I don't know. It's going to depend on Tony's schedule if we are. You can find out more information over at Yes Wrestling, facebook.com/groups/YesWrestling.
And then Kevin Gray and I will be back on Wednesday night with Going Broadway, also reviewing Backlash and NXT TakeOver, WLGKRadio.com. So, until next week, for Sean Garmer and for Harry Broadhurst, I'm Patrick Ketza. You have been listening to Woo Reacts to WWE Backlash 2017 here on the W2M Network.
Jinder Hall.
WWE Champion. See you next week.
Good night, everyone.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.